Father, we thank you, we give you praise, and we give you glory this morning. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We give you glory, and we give you honor. We pray this morning, O Lord, that as we gather into your presence, that Lord, you will reveal yourself to us in Jesus' name. Wash us by the water of your word this morning in a way that our lives will never be the same again. Father, heal us, deliver us. Let the mark of your faithfulness be upon us this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you as we welcome the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have your way in this place. Let no man be seen, but your glory fill the house. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the special grace of God, we are looking at the basis for our belief in the Trinity. The basis for our belief in the Trinity. In a triune God. You know, some people would say, oh, we can't understand. How can God be in three persons? Oh, you say it's the same God. How can he be God? You know, he's Jesus, he's Spirit, he's the Father. There is only one God. Yes, there is only one God. By the grace of God, we are going to be looking at the Bible this morning and the Bible's reference to the Trinity. Let's quickly open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3. Verse 13 to 17. Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. It says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God will be pleased with you this morning in Jesus' name. There's no point in us being children of God and God not being pleased with us. Let's quickly look at our memory verse for this morning. It's taken from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28:19. Can we go together? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19. Can we go again? Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Can we go again? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So who is God talking to here? Who was Jesus speaking to here? All of us. Praise God. So he's saying we should go out therefore to where? To all nations. So it's not just people we are friends with. It's not just people we like. It's not just people who accept us. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That same message, that same instruction is what Jesus is still giving today. And I believe all of us will take it as our personal instructions to go and do what Jesus has asked us to do. And as you do this, his presence will follow you in Jesus' name. As an introduction, I need not tell us that in the last few months, we've looked at God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then we went ahead to talk about some of the operations of the Holy Spirit in the form of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the children of God for us to accomplish what we have been sent to do. So today is just logical that we look at the triune God, that is the Trinity. We will look at, even though the name or the word Trinity is not used in the Bible per se, but we are going to look at some of the allusions and reference to the Trinity. The Bible makes it clear that there is only one God. Can we look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4? We know that there is only one God, but God has been manifesting himself to us in various ways. And so it's good for us to take a look at God in his manifestations. Deuteronomy 6:4. Okay, verse 5. Amen. So verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." One what? One Lord. Only one. Only one. And he says, all our love must be devoted to that one God. So there is only one God. But we have seen God come in different ways, particularly as the Son and as the Holy Spirit. And of course, he remains God the Father. A lot of people can't get their heads around this, like many things that we preach. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. That is why our call is of faith. A lot of people want to be able to make what I will call logical deductions in order for them to believe. And that is why it's so difficult for them to believe. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In other words, we cannot. God is past finding out. He's too big. He's too wise. He's too capable. He's too resourceful. He's too powerful. He's beyond description. We try as much as possible to describe him based on our imagination, but I'm telling you, he's beyond the imagination of man. And this is another of the mysteries of his presence. That's why he can be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost at the same time. Let's look at a few pointers to the Trinity in the Bible. Let's look at a few things that tells us about the Trinity, the existence of the Trinity in the Bible. We know that at creation, God used a collective noun, us, in communicating his intention, as in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. God said, "Let us create man in our own image." Let who? Us. God didn't just say, "I want to create man in my own image." He said, "Let us create man in our own image." We will soon see those who bear the image of God. So as we have here, that he had to voice out his intention meant he had an audience. Sorry, had there is H-A-D, not H-E-A-R-D. He had an audience that played a role in creation. So he was speaking to someone. He wasn't just talking to himself. We also know that this specific audience have the same likeness of God, just like man. Because he said, "In our own image." It means the people that God was speaking to at that time, they were just like him. And we have just read from Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 that there is only one God. So he's the only one. No one else was like him until he created man in his own image. We also know that no other being has the attribute of God apart from man and God himself. So, following the baptism of Jesus, the three of them showed up. First, we saw Jesus surrender to the will of the Father when he said to John, where we read, he said, "Suffer it to be so for now, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." So he's saying, basically what Jesus was saying is that my situation, my call, my life is to fulfill all righteousness, is to be obedient to what God wants. I hope you and I can say that this morning, that my call, My position, my place, means I have to do what God says. Praise the Lord. I was saying to some people, it doesn't matter who preached to you. You know, some people like to have big men of God minister to them. Even if T.D. Jakes comes to preach here, if you don't do what God says, is it of any use? You can only recall and say, oh, I was in the gathering where T.D. Jakes spoke. I was in the gathering where Creflo Dollar spoke. I was there when Joyce Meyer spoke. Does it change anything in your life?
No.
What changed things is what is our yielding to the word of God. And Jesus said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So the situation demands that I submit myself, and he did. And as you submit yourself to God, God will honor you in Jesus' name. So the Holy Spirit, as Jesus decided to submit himself in obedience to fulfill all righteousness, the Holy Spirit then registered his presence, and God confirmed the sonship of Jesus. That's the passage we read. That's our text. And my message to you this morning is that every time you do something because of God, not because of man, and you surrender yourself in the service of God, or you do something because you know that that is what God wants you to do, that is what the word of God says, the Holy Spirit will register his presence in your life in Jesus' name. Because as soon as Jesus decided that that's what he was going to do in line with the word of God, the Bible said the Holy Spirit came down like what? Like a dove. And what happened? God confirmed his sonship, and a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. God will speak concerning you and say, you are the beloved, and that he's pleased with your life in Jesus' name. And we know what followed that. Jesus was taken to the wilderness. Temptation came. But did Jesus overcome? He did. You will overcome also in Jesus' name. Because once God has said he's well pleased with you, the other thing, look, the world may not be well pleased with you. Once God says, I'm well pleased with you, that's all that is important. Was the world well pleased with Jesus? They were not. There's one quotation that I've been banding around in the last week, sharing it with my wife and my children. You've heard of Reverend Jesse Jackson. You know what he said? He said, if you walk on waters, people will say you can't swim. If you walk on waters, people will say you can't swim. Please tell me which one is easier to do, swimming or walking on waters. But praise God. But people will still say you can't swim. So, but when God declares that he's well pleased with you, please, that's all you need. And it will be well with you in Jesus' name. So, and Jesus thereafter instructed us that in all that we do, we must make sure that there is the presence of the three of them. That's why it says, when you go to the nations, teach them and then baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the presence of the three, we call it down. Every time we do that, when we teach people, we baptize them. And by the way, we have baptismal certificates. In case you have not been baptized by immersion, we can do the lesson with you and we'll baptize you. Also, we have lest I forget, we have dedication certificates. So please tell all the other mothers, I will try and announce it again. If your child has been dedicated here and you can remember the date, please come. We will issue you a certificate. Praise God. And we also continually commend ourselves to them whenever we say the grace, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, when we say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and we want his presence to go with us. That's what we are saying. That's the Trinity. Let's look at some of their joint actions. What do they do together? Maybe I better start to say, or by saying, as children of God, everything we do and all our interactions with God has to do with God the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. They must have a hand in whatever we do. When one of them goes, the other will follow. In other words, when the Spirit leaves, the Father is not there. The Son is also not there. The Spirit of God will not leave you in Jesus' name. We've already looked at what happened at creation, how the Bible alludes to the presence of the three of them. For example, when God spoke in Genesis 1:3, he spoke. He was the one who spoke. Let there be. And then, when he spoke to that situation, it was Jesus that God spoke into that situation. When he spoke that word, it was Jesus that God spoke into that situation. How do I know? Because the Bible says in John 1:1 that in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said there was nothing was created that was not created by him. That is the Word. So in other words, let's quickly look at John 1:1. In other words, when God said, let there be, in other words, he was speaking Jesus into that situation. Because the Bible said nothing was created that was not created by him. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So nothing was made without the Word. And the Word was Jesus that had been with God. So, we know that God spoke. Jesus enacted it as the Word. And the Bible said that the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the waters. And the Holy Spirit was the one that was moving. So, wherever these two are, God the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit is there. They will be in your life in Jesus' name. So they continue to play complementary roles in our lives today. So the Father will only receive prayers, as in John 16:23, prayers that are said in the name of Jesus the Son. Let's look at John 16:23-24. John 16:23-24. So the Father will only receive prayers that are said in the name of the Son. He says, and ye now therefore have sorrow. No, let's, sorry, 23, sorry. In whose name? In Jesus' name. Verse 24.
Nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive.
Praise the Lord.
Your joy may be full.
Praise the Lord. Your joy will be full this morning in Jesus' name. So, even now, they play a complementary role. You know, you ask. in the name of the Son, as you pray to the Father. And the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, is the one that directs your prayer. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, is the one who directs our prayers. Can we quickly look at Romans 8:26? Yep.
With groaning which cannot be uttered.
Praise the Lord. So we don't even know what to pray, because the Holy Spirit is the one who knows the mind of God. Is the one that directs us, so we can pray right. So even in prayer, you need the three of them. And of course, in salvation too, we need the three of them. God the Father is the one who draws people to Jesus, because Jesus said, "No one cometh unto the Son except the Father draws him." Praise the Lord. No one cometh unto the Son. No man cometh unto the Son except the Father draws him. So in salvation, God draws people to Jesus. And then Jesus cleanses them with his blood. In Ephesians 1:7, you see that. And then the Holy Spirit transforms the lives of such ones that have been drawn to the Son. The Holy Spirit will transform your life in Jesus' name. So we see the hand of the Godhead in all the states of man, in all aspects of our Christian lives. So it goes without saying that they work in agreement. The implication of this is that what God says in his word is what the Holy Spirit will agree with. The Holy Spirit also gives counsel according to the word of God. So any instruction purportedly from the Holy Spirit that contradicts the word of God needs to be questioned, because they always work in agreement. You know, we've had children of God say God said something, and we know what they are saying contradicts the Bible. It's not likely that God has spoken to that person. I told you of a pastor. He was sick, actually, but the church members didn't know. He said the Spirit of God asked that he slept with one of the elder's wives. I'm serious. I'm really serious. I'm not joking. I'm talking about life. Somebody I saw. You know? Do you know some people believed him? But we know that is not in line with the word of God. That is one of the ways you can test the Spirit. If what that Spirit is saying is not in keeping with the word of God, then check it. It's not likely that God is the one speaking. Do we have any questions? Any contributions? We want to say something. The basis for our belief in the Trinity. Remember that not everyone who calls themselves Christian believes in the Trinity. So hence we are talking about it today. Okay. Please, can we rise on our feet, please? Let's speak to God. I want us to ask God, say, Lord, come into my life afresh. Lord God, come into my life afresh. Come as the Father. Come as the Son, come as the Holy Spirit. Do what you normally would do. Like you approve of Jesus, approve of me this morning. Let there be a resounding voice from heaven declaring my sonship. Let there be a resounding voice from heaven declaring my daughtership. Holy Spirit of God, witness, minister to me this morning. Lord, come afresh into my life. Come afresh into my life. Let there be a resounding voice that declare my sonship this morning. Let there be a resounding voice from heaven that declare my daughtership this morning. Your word says, when I go through the waters, they will not overflow me. And when I go through the fire, they will not be kindled against me. Let your resounding voice declare my sonship this morning. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you because we know you are here in our midst this morning. We want resounding voice of approval in the house this morning in Jesus' name. Approve of us, O Lord, and let your presence be with us in Jesus' name. Father, even as we worship in this service, let our worship of you be holy and acceptable. In the mighty name of Jesus, it shall be devoid of any ungodliness, but your power will uphold us as we raise our voices in unison, declaring your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.